Hebrews 4, 12-13. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from its sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him we must give account.
ヘブル人への手紙
4章12節と13節。神の言葉は生きていて力があり、両刃の剣よりも鋭く、魂と霊、関節と骨髄の分かれ目さえも差し通し、心のいろいろな考えや計りごとを判別することができます。作られたもので神の前で隠れを仰せるものは何一つなく、神の目にはすべてが裸であり、さらけ出されています。私たちはこの神に対して弁明をするのです。
Good morning, everyone. How are you doing? Before I forget, some of you may not have heard this, but after service, we're going to go to Sushi Garden to celebrate Sarah, her being with us. This is her last Sunday, so after service, we're all going to go to Sushi Garden. And if you're having financial difficulties, we still want you to go. Let me know, and we'll work something out. We'll make you do dishes or something. No, just kidding. We want everyone to go, and that's after service. But we need a head count, right?
Yeah.
So if you're planning to go to Sushi Garden after service, lunch, please raise your hand really high so that we can do a count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7... 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. About 20, 21, 22.
What time
do you need? Let's say 12:45. Yeah, 12:45. Thank you, Tamal. Again, it's good to see all of you here. Anna said, the weather is beautiful. Of course, if you've been keeping up with the news, you know that's not the case around the world. There's been a lot, the weather's been really weird. And so, I don't even know what it's called, like a winter bomb or something, right? Something ominous like that happened in the East Coast. Was it in Europe or was it the East Coast? I think both are hitting, just getting hit really hard. It's spring, it's not winter anymore, so it's kind of a weird phenomenon. Anyways, today we're in a passage in Hebrews where we go to this iconic verse where some of you have memorized, most of you are familiar with this verse, for the words of God are living and active. And I want to talk about the word of God today. It's a topic that's very important for us Christians. But before we get into the word of God, I don't know, did anyone catch the U of A basketball game yesterday, Thursday? No? No? Nobody? Okay, so no. Let me update you then. Last week, it was just the English side here last week, but last week I broke the news that there was an FBI investigation on the NCAA basketball, and Sean Miller allegedly was caught on tape, saying that he will give an agent $100,000 for a certain basketball player who's actually one of the best players, not just on the team, but one of the best players in the nation. He'll probably go top five in the NBA next year. However, there was a story that broke out that Sean Miller was breaking the rules. You're not supposed to pay agents, you're not supposed to pay players any type of money, and allegedly Sean Miller paid $100,000. That was last week. This week, if you watched the game, you would notice that Sean Miller was actually coaching. Well, last week he was suspended. Well, this past week, Sean Miller came up with a very strong statement saying he did none of those things that he's alleged to have done. And the U of A, the school, is backing him up at this point, and now he's back coaching. All that to say is relevant to the passage today. Last week it was about the promised land. And so the U of A, the promised land is on the table again. We're almost, you know, the promised land of reaching the Final Four is on the table once again. But all that to say, what was relevant today, though, is in order to be well-informed these days, the art of discernment is going to be more and more important. The art of discernment is going to be so important for each and every one of us to be well-informed. And I say that because the information that's coming to us can be biased, can be fake news. We've heard that term last year a lot used, fake news. It can have a certain agenda. You know, they say Forbes magazine came out with an article saying 15 billionaires owns the majority of the media outlet in America today. 15 billionaires, and they're listing all these billionaires, and I may have recognized one or two. In 2012, there was another article that said something like 6 corporations own 90% of television media. But we live in a day and age where we're not getting information from the television anymore or major media stations anymore, but we're getting bombarded with information on a minute-by-minute basis. If you own a smartphone, if you go on Facebook, if you go on any of these sites, you're going to have something communicating a message to you, whether you're aware of it or not. And sometimes the information that comes to us isn't always the best information or even true information. And it could have an agenda, a nefarious agenda. It has the power to shape and can shape our beliefs, our values, our attitudes, and if we're not careful, it can lead us and feed us to have faith in something other than God. When I was growing up, in the 80s, I went to high school in the 90s to date myself. I know, right? Phil is laughing because he was probably teaching already in the 90s. I don't know. But when I was growing up, we didn't have smartphones or anything like that. But what really shaped my worldview, what shaped some of my values, my attitudes, my behavior, the way I dressed, the way I spoke, the way I walked, the way I talked, everything was largely influenced by movies, by music. And when I was growing up, the cool thing, hard to believe, was this gangster lifestyle. Do you guys remember that phase in the 90s? Those of you old enough to know about the 90s? Movies like Colors, where it was about Bloods and the Crips, Boys in the Hood, another highly glorifying gangster movie, Menace to Society. These are some of the movies I remember growing up. Gangster rap was heavily pushed by radio station at that time. And so constantly I'm getting this message, if you want to be cool, you know, all the cool people are doing these bad things. And that's the world I grew up in. I was not a Christian. I didn't have any other opposing voices trying to shape my life. That was shaping my life. Of course, I still had my conscience. So after watching a movie like Menace to Society, I didn't go buy myself a gun and start, you know, terrorizing the neighborhood or anything like that. I had a brain, but seeds were being planted in me to the point where I was going in that direction. I was wearing baggy pants. My pants were sagging. You know, even the way I speak, it's kind of, sometimes when I get nervous, a little gangster comes out for some reason, you know? But that all has been influenced by movies, by music. Constantly listening and watching these things. Let me ask you, where do you, and are you aware of what has shaped your values, your beliefs? Your attitude. Going back to high school, the attitude of not caring was very cool. Not caring. Not doing well. Not knowing for some reason was cool. I don't care. And I had an attitude of, oh, is that school? Okay, I don't care either. Did I tell you the story? In junior high, I did tell you the story, but some of you are here, I'll tell you the story again. In junior high, I didn't know that not caring was cool, you know? So in junior high, I used to do my homework. In math class, I did my homework. I was always pretty good at math because my parents made me go to Sansu Josu, MAC, we called it. And one day, we were turning in our homework. And the way we turned in our homework, we just passed it to the kid in front of us, and it goes all the way to the teacher. And I passed my homework into this pretty girl in front of me, and she turned around and said, "Ugh, you did your homework?" You know, and she was like cool and stuff, and I'm like, I didn't know what to say. I was like, I thought everyone just did their homework, you know. But apparently not. And so after that day, I stopped doing my homework. I wanted to be the cool kid. She turned around for homework. I was like, nope, I didn't do my homework. But that shaped my attitude. My attitude was, I don't care. I had an I don't care kind of attitude. I don't know, you know, if she was the one that planted that seed, but I'm sure that seed was planted long before, and it just, that watered it to the point where it sprang out, and now I was having roots and fruits in my life of I don't care. But let me ask you again, where and how is your attitudes, beliefs, and values being shaped? What are the voices coming in that you're allowing and that you're believing and that you're putting your faith in? Because that's very important. And the writer of Hebrews in chapter 4 is going on this this argument, or his line of thought is, if you're not careful, and if you don't put your faith in the Word of God, you may miss the promised land in your life. That there were those in the past where God spoke to them, and their attitude was not, let's put our faith in God and believe in Him and do whatever He tells us to do, but rather, we don't know if God is trustworthy. I'm not sure if I should go and do whatever God tells me to do. And that attitude, that belief, kept them out of the promised land. It kept them out of the promised land. And so we come to this iconic verse in Hebrews. It says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrows, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." The book of Hebrews, before we get to this part in Hebrews, the book starts off in chapter 1, verse 1, that God speaks, and God spoke to us in various ways through the prophets. That God spoke to us in various ways by the prophets. And I want to say this, that God is desiring to communicate with us. He has always desired to communicate with us. He has always longed to communicate to us, His children. He wants to speak to you and I. And in the past, He's done that in various ways. But when the writer of Hebrews wrote this, he mentions a unique change that in the past he spoke to prophets. But now and today, he speaks to us through his son, Jesus Christ. Literally 2,000 years ago, Jesus walked on the earth. And he spoke to certain peoples for 3 years. His ministry was about 3 years. And people had the immense privilege of hearing God speak. Literally, their ears heard the voice of God through Jesus Christ. That was a unique time. But when Jesus, before he passed on to go to heaven, said this, "It is better if I leave, because when I leave, the Holy Spirit will come upon you." And so Jesus, God still speaks to us now through Jesus Christ, through his Spirit that indwells each and every one of us. In the past, that was not the case. In the past, those that the Holy Spirit dwelled in were called prophets. And in the past, God spoke in various ways through the prophets to the people. Jesus comes, and now each and every one of us has the same Spirit that indwelt the prophets. And so God is now speaking to each and every one of us individually and collectively. That the Word of God is God communicating to you and I. Isn't that good news? Somebody say amen. Where's my amen is up here today? The Holy Spirit within us is such a unique concept. So some of us, we take that for granted, but it is such a unique concept that in the past, holy people like David were filled with the Holy Spirit. That's it. Nathan was filled with the Holy Spirit. Nathan the prophet. Nathan today is filled with the Holy Spirit too, but Jeremiah the prophet, Isaiah the prophet, Moses the super prophet. It wasn't just Joe Schmo was filled with the Holy Spirit. Sometimes people experience the Holy Spirit for a time and a moment, but to be indwelt with the Holy Spirit was something rare, unique, and specific to certain people. But today, we live in a day and age, because of what Jesus did on the cross, that you and I can be filled with the Holy Spirit right now. That we could hear God speak to us as we sit here. As I preach, the Holy Spirit can be communicating to you. That is the Word of God. When the Holy Spirit communicates to you, that is the Word of God. The Word of God, though, let me just tell you different titles the Word of God has. So the Word of God, usually in evangelical circles, when we say the Word of God, automatically we think of the Bible, right? And that's true. The Word of God is the Bible. I believe the Bible is very unique. The scripture talks about the scriptures being, the scriptures testify to the scriptures being God-breathed. It is supernatural, I believe, in origin. Although humans wrote it, I believe it was inspired by the Holy Spirit to be written. And the Bible is so important. It's so important for us. However, I do want to point out and say that's not the only way that God will speak to us. That's not the only way. It's not just Scripture as the Word of God. The Word of God, Scripture, I believe, is primary on this list of ways God speaks to us, that the Bible is first and foremost. You know, when I was first became Christian, my friend did a very shrewd but wise thing to me. He said, "Now that you're a Christian, you have to read the Bible 5 chapters a day." I didn't know anything, so I said, "Okay, I'm a Christian, so I'll read the Bible 5 chapters a day." And so that's what I did. And when I first started reading the Bible, I didn't understand anything. You know, it's like, what is this? I didn't even know it was Jewish people at first, you know. I was just reading it, and I was like, I was trying to make sense of it. I couldn't. It's just, you ever read the Bible for the first time? And if you, you know, it's just, it's hard to understand sometimes. But I that's what I did. I'm a Christian, I'm going to read the Bible. And something strange would happen, though. Throughout the day, as I'm just going about my day, not really thinking about the Bible or anything else, all of a sudden, a verse would come to my head. Something I read would come back to my head. And then I'd have this internal dialogue with myself about that verse. Back then, I didn't know. Today, I'll probably, you know, that's probably the Holy Spirit speaking to me. But back then, I didn't know what's going on. I thought, wow, that's really cool. You know, I wasn't thinking about that. And now it's, you know, now the Lord is just speaking to me through what I read in the past. Just a second.
We're escaping here.
All right. That's my little baby. But the Word of God as Scripture, that's important. It's important for you and to read Scripture. That's if you're not reading Scripture, and if you don't know any better, Christians read 5 chapters a day. Yeah, that's what we do. If you're not reading 5 chapters a day, you're backsliding. You're lukewarm. You're a lukewarm Christian if you're only reading, if you're not reading 5 chapters. No, but it's really important. I hope and I pray and I hope that each and every one of you would take it seriously. I mean, this is a book. This is a book that, in the past, only the most privileged people had access to this book. It was written in Latin at one point, and the common people weren't even supposed to have access to it. But now, the Bible, you can carry the Bible all day with you. If you have a smartphone, there's a Bible app, and you could have access to the Bible in whatever language you want, in multiple translations. You could even go to the original language. With this, you have access to the Bible 24/7. As long as you have internet, I guess, or if you downloaded it. The Bible is so important. I believe that that's the Word of God. However, if you look throughout Scripture, the Word of God is also not simply what has been written, but what God has spoken. So prophets would say, the Word of God came to me. And that doesn't mean that when I was reading the Bible, God spoke to me, but rather that during my time, either praying or doing something, God came to me and spoke to me, and that was the Word of God. The Word of God came to me. The Word of God also in Scripture is when people evangelize. In the book of Acts, when people were evangelizing and people received the message of Jesus Christ, that was the Word of God spreading. The Word of God was spreading. And so when we talk about Jesus in a way where people come to know the Lord, that in some ways is defined as the Word of God. The Word of God is also sometimes defined as teaching and preaching. So here, at moments when I'm teaching, it can be considered the Word of God. Thank you. Someone said amen. Wow, I was not expecting that. No. So when is it the Word of God, and when is it just me up here talking about Sean Miller and rambling? That is not the Word of God, right? When is it when we're reading the Bible, when is it just studying, and when is it the Word of God? When is it that when a voice hits us that we don't know where it's coming from, when is that the Word of God? I believe it becomes the Word of God when we read Scripture, or when we hear a voice in our head, or when we're hearing someone's teaching or something like that, evangelism, I believe it becomes the Word of God when God breathes on it. That when His Spirit is on it, that's when it becomes the Word of God. However, you know, God can't breathe on something that's not there. And so that's why I think it's important to have Scripture in you, to memorize it. Because God loves breathing on His Word, the Bible, Holy Scripture. I'm getting off my notes a little bit, but the Word of God is important. It says the Word of God is living and acting. The first thing it says about it, it is living. That word living, when we first see the word living, one of the first times we see the word living is when God breathed into Adam and he became a living being. So whenever God breathes on something, I believe that is the Word of God. But the Word of God, when it says the Word of God is living, the most important aspect of that is this. The Word of God can bring us eternal life. Amen. None of us would have come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior unless the Word of God came to us. If you are Christian today, that means the Word of God came to you and you believed the Word of God. And that brought us eternal life. It is living, it is active, it is a catalyst for transformation. God's voice, God's communication, God's word, and the expression to us is a catalyst for godly transformation. The Word of God is living and active. It doesn't give us a picture here, but a picture that Jesus used concerning the Word of God is a tiny seed. I believe that change, oftentimes, the Word of God, when it's instituted change, oftentimes comes as a little seed. A little seed of conviction. And let me tell you, when you get that seed of conviction, if you water it, and if you steward it well, it will grow to bear the fruit of what you were convicted with originally. It will one day bear those fruit, what you were convicted with. A lot of times when we hear the Word of God, we get excited. And we're like, yes, I'm going to do that. That's going to be me. The next day, it's not you. You know, it's like, what happened? I thought the Word of God came to me. Well, it came to you in a seed form. And it is you, but it's not fully matured you. And so, in the past, if you heard the Word of God and you were excited about it, and the next day it didn't happen, don't be discouraged. The Word of God is living and it's active. It's working in your life. It's just germinating underneath the surface where you can't see it and where nobody else can see it but God Himself. But I don't want you to be discouraged once you were convicted of doing something and being someone and all of a sudden you're not that person and you're not doing what you thought you were going to be doing. Don't be discouraged. It is working underneath the surface where no one else can see but God. Steward it well. That's where faith is important. That's where faith comes into play. The Word of God is living and it is active. It is working in your life right now. I believe that. Salvation is working in your life. Amen? Amen. All of you are still saved, right? Yes. So the other words of God that God has spoken to you, let me just say, I believe those things are working in your life as well. Praise God. Amen. It will bring about the greatest change in your life, and it will bring about the greatest change in this world, the Word of God. It also describes the Word of God as sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joint and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. The Word of God is sharper than, I believe, any known object in the world, as it's being described here. It's able to divide soul and spirit, joints and marrow, discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. It can divide soul and spirit. What does that mean? It can divide thoughts and intentions. If you're Japanese, you know what that means. No, just kidding. I was expecting a bigger laugh. My comedic timing, I need to work on that stuff. Okay. But the Word of God, it can divide things. It can divide things. There's a story, and this is where discernment comes in. I said, if you want to be well informed, we need to grow in the art of discernment. This is where discernment comes in. Because we live in a world where I do believe that there is a person named Satan that is engineering this world so that one day good will be evil and what is evil will be considered good. I think that there is a nefarious force that's pulling us in that direction. And because of that, discernment will be so important in the last days. In the days we're living in, it's important already. To be able to divide spirit and soul, I believe, is discernment. Spirit, I'm going to take it this way. The spirit is the Holy Spirit, and the soul is the person. And it is so intertwined in most of us that we can't discern what is it that God wants and what is it that I want. You know, we get into situations where we may use the language, this is what God wants, when really it's what we want. The Word of God can divide that, though, it says. How does it divide that? Here's a story in 1 Chronicles 7:17 where I believe the Word of God does divide spirit and soul. Do you guys, any Bible nerds in here, know what that 1 Chronicles 17:17 is? It has to do with David. 17:17. I'll just give you the summary of the story. David, most of you know David, but David was a man of war. He lived during a time where war was common and necessary. One of David's greatest accomplishments was defeating Goliath. But that wasn't the only time he shed blood. He shed blood multiple times after that as well. One day, David was in his palace, enjoying the fruit of his labors, if you will. David was not just a mighty warrior king, but he was very much so an artistic worshiper. He loved writing music, songs. He danced before the Lord. He loved the Lord with all of his heart. And one day, while he was in his palace, he noticed, you know, I'm living in this great big house, this palace. But God, he has nowhere to live. He lives in this tent. And David thought in his heart, and he said to the prophet Nathan, I want to build a house for God. And that sounds like a godly thing to say, amen? And I do think it was a godly thing to say. And Nathan said, you know, David, do whatever your heart pleases. Do whatever your heart pleases. That night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan. And it told Nathan, tell David, he's not the one to build me a house. It was a little harsher than that. But tell him he's not going to build me the house. His son will build me the house. So Nathan goes back, faithful. You know, David, if he wanted to, probably put Nathan away with that kind of message, but he told the king and said to David, the word of the Lord came to me, you're not the one that's supposed to build this house. So the word of God came to Nathan to tell David what to do with his life, what not to do with his life. It divided spirit and soul. In this case, David wasn't the one to build the house. And to David's credit, he faithfully obeyed and didn't build the house. The word of the Lord will come to us in similar like manners. There's going to be times when we have a choice to make, and sometimes that choice may look very godly, but God will say, stop. Don't do it. Have you ever had that happen to your life?
Yes.
There was a story I was listening when I was younger. I used to listen to, you know, all the radio stations, Christian radio stations I could. And you guys know Dr. James Dobson?
Yes.
He was on the radio a lot back then, and I used to listen to his show. But there was this one time where an officer was on his show. And the officer was giving his testimony. And in his testimony, while on duty, he gets a call that there is a break-in at a house. And so he goes to the house, and he notices the door is ajar, so he walks in the house. Standard procedure as a policeman during these calls are, you get your gun out and you're ready. But he felt the Lord telling him, or something told him, don't do that. And he obeyed. And he heard noises in the kitchen. And when he goes into the kitchen, there's a man in there that he was peeling onions or something. And when the officer come in, he gets so afraid that the onion like slips out and he goes quick to grab it. Now the officer said, if I had my gun and I saw that kind of movement, that would have probably triggered me to shoot the man. But he said, because I heard a voice saying, don't get your gun out. I didn't have my gun with me, and it was just the owner of the house feeling a potato, and the potato slipped, and in his reaction, he went quick to grab it. And he said, you know, if I didn't obey that voice, I don't know what I would have done. I might have shot that person. But the Word of God can work like that, I believe. It could get us to do things that we might not otherwise do. Almost illogical things. I don't want you to say, I'm not here promoting throw away your logic and just go with, you know, whatever your heart tells you. That's where the Bible, you know, comes into place. That's why it's so important for the Bible, because everything that comes after the Bible, you know, whether it's a teacher saying something, whether it's a voice you hear, you go back to Scripture and say, is that from you, Lord? And there's also another thing, because people who read the Bible sometimes use the Bible to smash other people with and to, you know, belittle other people with the Bible. That's not the way the Word of God works. When God breathes on something, though, when it's illogical, when it goes against standard procedure, have a community, but in this case, the officer didn't have a community to consult. There's a peace that comes when the Word of God comes. Love and peace. Of course, we're going to make mistakes along the way. But as we grow in discerning what the Word of the Lord is, what the Word of God is, it is important to trust and obey. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to say, oh, this was God's Word. And honestly, you're not going to know if it's God's Word until after the fact, unfortunately. Just like the police officer, it wasn't until after the fact that he noticed that was from God. That was from God. Just a disclaimer. Not everything supernatural is the Word of God. Not everything supernatural is the Word of God. And that goes again to how important it is to know the Bible. But it also describes the Word of God of being able to discern thoughts and intentions of the heart. And it goes on to say, no creature is hidden from His sight. Notice, it personifies the Word of God now, His sight. But all are naked and exposed to the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account to. The Word of God here is both a title the mode of communication from God, but it is also, I believe, a title, another title given to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the ultimate Word become flesh. And in this context, I believe the writer of Hebrews is making the point of the supremacy of Jesus throughout his old argumentation. And here he comes to the point where he describes the Word of God. And as he ends this description of the Word of God, he goes back and connects it back to, I believe, Jesus Christ as the Word of God, the ultimate example of the Word of God. And from Him and to Him, we will all give an account for our lives. To the one that knows our thoughts, to the one who weighs our intentions, to the one who knows the spirit and soul, to the one who has been speaking to us all through our lives, to Him we will give our an account of our lives. The good news is, for those of us who have been faithfully walking with Jesus, we no longer have a fearful expectation on the day of judgment. That's been taken care of. Jesus Christ has taken care of judgment through the cross. Now, for those of us who have been faithfully walking with Jesus, we come into a place called the judgment of Christ. And this judgment is more like the judges who's judging. For some reason, I can't get figure skating out of my head, so I'm going to use figure skating. The Olympic figure skaters. There are judges who are judging the Olympic figure skaters. And none of them are skating for their lives, you know. In fact, when there are judges for figure skating, they're being judged on how well they did. And if they are worthy of the gold, bronze, or silver medal. And in the same way, I believe what the writer of Hebrews is saying is when we will give an account to God. And all of Scripture, the New Testament, is saying, when we will give an account to God, for those who are not faithful, I do think there is a fearful expectation. I do believe that. But for the faithful, those who have asked Jesus in their lives, those who call Jesus not just Savior, but Lord as well, those who walk with the Lord, they have an expectation of the great rewards and prizes that He will give on the day of judgment. When Paul died, he died with an expectation of receiving a reward. He said, I didn't live my life in vain. Now when I see Him who made me, I know that there's something better for me. For you and I who hear the word of God, listen and obey, there is judgment. But it's not judgment of condemnation, but it's judgment of bronze, silver, and gold. Treasures and rewards in heaven that we are accumulating on a moment by moment, day by day basis. That the Lord says, even if you give a cup of cold water to one of these little ones, it will not go unnoticed. I think God is making it painfully easy for you and I to receive treasures in heaven. If you hear the word of God today, do not harden your heart, but respond with faith and trust. Let us obey the Lord, the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Father, we thank you so much for your grace and your mercy. We pray, Father, that you would continue to speak to us. And that as you speak to us, we would have the grace, the wisdom, the knowledge and understanding to know your voice, to hear you speak. Even now, Lord, as you speak to some of these sitting here, I pray they would be able to discern your voice. Father, I thank you so much for your grace. Continue to open our ears, Lord. Open our eyes and soften our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.